Hey everyone, this is Terilyn today with a magic moment. And today I just want to talk about a concept that we learn about in books about children, toddlers, middle-aged kids, teenagers, and adults. And I think it's just a really fascinating concept that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And that is the concept of attachment versus authenticity. So oftentimes, as children, we are taught, usually unintentionally, that we need to choose between attachment with our caregivers or authenticity. So if we are not accepted, or we perceive that we are not accepted for who we are, then for most human beings, especially children, we're going to choose attachment, right? Our very survival as small children especially depends on our caregivers. So the fascinating thing about this concept is this can start even when you're babies. You know what I mean? Like even when we are that small, if we realize that our parents get angry at us when we cry, we're going to stop asking for what we need, right? Because we're afraid of that withdrawal or that anger. And we see it especially a lot in toddlers. And then again, in every age of development. And what I'm realizing recently is that if we open our eyes and look around, this is happening still all the time, even as adults, right? And it may not be with caregivers anymore, but it'll just be with people that we care about in our lives. Because we still have this primal desire for belonging, because belonging is where we find our survival, right? So to be clear, I'm not actually even judging this instinct at all. I think it's a really fascinating instinct to understand. But I also find that there's a lot of interesting thought experiments as we recognize that. So how this looks to me, the reason why I find it so fascinating is, for me as an adult, you know, I'll be, you know, choosing, for example, like I want to stay in a place of unconditional love here. And that might be met with approval from people that I love, or it might be met with disapproval from people that I love. And it's fascinating to me because that instinct to please, or that instinct to do the thing that we would get approval for, is so strong. It really feels like you're overriding a huge programming to stay in the place that feels authentic and aligned with you, right? And it isn't like it feels deeper than just a simple choice. It really feels like an override of like a hard drive situation. And I don't know, to me, it just gets so exciting once you realize that, because you realize that this is a very important thing for our survival. So, of course, there's no judgment here. But once we realize that, to me, this is where the magic starts happening. And that is in two places. One, with ourselves. When we can start identifying where we are choosing attachment over authenticity, I'm not saying which one is better, to be clear here. I'm saying we can actually start analyzing it. And instead of having it be an unconscious choice, we can make it a conscious choice, right? So maybe however that looks like for you, you can actually start choosing, oh, okay, I'm doing this for this relationship because it matters to me and that is worth it to me, right? To do the thing that maybe doesn't feel totally authentic, but it's coming from a place of, I really care about this part of our relationship. And so I'm going to not do it with resentment or anything like that, or even from a people-pleasing standpoint, but from a genuine authenticity, I care about this person. I'm going to do this thing, even though it's not my favorite thing, whatever. It's okay. I love this person. I'm not going to get out of it. I'm going to choose to get into it. And to me, then the cool thing about that is it actually turns into something authentic, which is kind of cool. Or for example, if you're like, no, this is actually a really important thing to me to be authentic to myself, to increase my own concept of self-trust, this is something that's really important to me. And because of that, I am willing to allow somebody else to be displeased with me, right? And that's a place of beautiful power as well. And so I think just being conscious of the choice is really, 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 really valuable. And I've really been exploring the concept lately of self-trust. And what does that even mean? What does it mean to trust yourself? And part of that for me, as I've been exploring that inside of myself, is committing to myself not to be like performative, right? And I don't mean like performing on a stage, because I think that's actually really fun. But I mean like, pretending to like something that you don't, for example. You know, that's being performative for me. Or not checking in actually with myself, you know? So to me, that kind of becomes even more interesting as you kind of start to discover, so what does it mean to self-trust? And when I'm trusting myself, then I allow other people to trust themselves as well. And I allow other people to stand in their own authenticity. And I can give them so much respect for that, right? So the interesting concept here is, as we look at these choices inside of ourselves, what we're doing from a place of authenticity versus what we're doing from a place of fear of losing attachment. And then as we learn and lean into our own concept of self-trust, it's really beautiful, because you can really start to honor other people's self-trust as well, you know? And I mean, I have dear friends and people who I respect so much. And I love it when I hear them say the words, you know, this is something that I'm feeling inside of my heart. I love it, because as I hear it, I can hear their self-trust. And I think to myself, you know what? I'm going to honor that. Even if, you know, that isn't something that I would choose, I still honor that in you. You know what I mean? And I think it's a really beautiful concept to explore. The other really wonderful place where we can apply this concept of attachment versus authenticity, and how it is, once we bring it into the conscious level, how we're able to be much more intentional about our decisions, and that is with our children. So I look at the way I parent my children, and it makes me think of all the different ways we talk about unconditional love with our kids, right? I mean, I tell my kids all the time with my voice that their worth is absolutely non-negotiable. There is nothing in this world, no circumstance, no action, no mistake that can ever shift their worth. I also tell them that my love for them is unconditional, in that I will always love them, right? I will always love them. It is unconditional. Now, I mean, if we go down that path really deeply, that might mean, depending on, you know, behaviors and actions, there might be boundaries or things like that. However, and of course, limits. I mean, as parents, we're always setting limits for our children, right? And then we're respecting their autonomy within those limits. So to be clear here, I am not saying at all, this is like a laissez-faire parent situation. You can go back to any of the episodes we've ever done about militant parenting versus authoritative, where you have limits, but then autonomy within those limits, and versus permissive parenting. So I am not promoting here permissive parenting at all, or militant parenting that's overly controlling. I'm talking about the kind of parenting where you set healthy limits and then you give autonomy within those limits. But within those limits of safety, actually, what am I saying? No, unconditional love actually transcends all of these concepts of parenting. And for me, if I say with my words to my children that your worth is non-negotiable and my love for you is unconditional. So, you know, and it's fun. Like, they'll even be like, well, what if I, you know, what if I purposefully run my car through a window or something, you know? And I can say something like, well, I cannot protect you from the consequences of your actions, right? I can't, and I won't. There will be consequences for that. But I can tell you that my love for you will still be intact, right? So again, this doesn't mean that we're like lawnmower parenting or helicopter parenting here. It just is explaining that our love can come from a place of true unconditional love. And love that turns to hate or turns to something else wasn't ever love to begin with, is my personal belief. And the kind of love that I'm interested in is the kind that is there no matter what, right? So this is where I think as a parent, honestly, sometimes I feel a little bit of fear, because I say those things with my words. However, as children and as adults, we interpret withdrawal of love, which can come across as stonewalling or being extra cold for a long period of time to our children or our loved ones. We also interpret high shows of anger as a withdrawal of love. So if a person says with their words that they are unconditionally loving, but then we choose, let me rephrase that. If we are saying as parents that we are unconditionally loving our children and that their worth is non-negotiable, and yet we are constantly reacting to them in anger or withdrawing love or making them feel like they are unsafe emotionally because we're constantly stomping around and they feel like they have to walk on eggshells around us. To me, this is where we really get to turn that mirror around and look at ourselves and say, my words are not matching my actions, right? And I am forcing my child to choose between being their true selves, which includes making mistakes and laughing sometimes loudly when you're not supposed to or whatever it is. And I'm choosing to have them be afraid of who they truly are because they're afraid of losing attachment to me. And that as a parent is something that I want to avoid, right? I want my children to feel safe expressing who they are. I want my children to feel safe feeling emotions and letting me sit with them as they process them, right? I want my children to feel safe when they make a mistake to talk to me about it and let me prove to them that I can sit with them, not save them, not, you know, again, prevent them from feeling their own consequences, but actually show them that I can still sit in a place of love, right? That I can sit with them as they experience this life. That I truly want my children to feel like they don't have to choose between their own authenticity and their attachment to me, which, I mean, I'm just throwing out this, I don't actually know any percentages here, but from my experience in just talking with other humans, I think most people at some point in time have to choose that, right? And continue to keep having to choose that if they want to keep the relationships that they want them. And something really beautiful is when you are able to experience relationships where somebody can truly see your authentic self and not ask you to choose between authenticity and attachment, then that is where really, really, really whole integrated relationships are. And it inspires me when I see other adults living like this, and it's absolutely incredible. I have to give a shout out to my parents for showing me what this looks like. It's absolutely incredible, actually. They really blow my mind. That they, even as an adult, I do not feel like they make me choose between my authenticity and my attachment to them. They are able to sit in a place and just observe with love and support. And again, not like coming in and like mowing over in any way, but just simply like in a supportive, beautiful place. And so I just have to like honor them for that. As I've been exploring this inside of myself, I've realized how good of examples they are to me for that. And it just inspires me to not just with my words, but with my actions. And does that mean that we're going to be perfect and we never experience anger? Of course not. Of course we're going to experience anger. But it's all about repair, right? We go to our kids after and say, you know what, I lost it there. And I withdrew my love from you when I did that. Did that feel scary? You know, how'd that feel for you? I probably wouldn't lead with, you know, I'd probably just ask, how'd that make you feel? And they might say sad or scared or whatever. And you can just simply repair it by saying, I'm sorry. If I were to do it again, I would do it like this. And I would do a replay, right? Which we've talked about that before, the concept of replays. So I'm not here saying at all that we need to be perfect. I'm just saying that it is very interesting to me when we start playing with the concept of authenticity versus attachment and our deep DNA level instinct that we have to override our authenticity, safety in being ourselves in order to secure our attachment with people that we love. So first of all, that helps us be conscious of our own actions and really make decisions from a place of intention. That also invites us to choose what kind of parents we want to be and showing as much as we can for our actions that we truly love our children unconditionally. And in that support, they can be their authentic selves and, you know, don't have to hide themselves from us. And then lastly, we can explore this concept just as we develop our, what does it mean to be authentic and have our self-trust intact, that we are then able to give that same respect to other people. And I think it's just a really, really beautiful concept. And honestly, as I've been thinking about it lately and just kind of like holding up a mirror to myself, it's been really inspiring me to look at myself in that way and also look at my kids and have the intent that I would love to show them that they can be who they are, deeply who they are, and they don't have to choose between that and my love, right? I'm so grateful that I've been to many incredible therapists over the years. And that is a theme that comes up often with them, what they say, you know, so many adults, the crux of the problem is they believe deep down that they are not enough. They believe that somewhere along their childhood, they got the message that who they are is not enough, who they are is broken, that they need to be somebody else for the approval of their parents or people that they love. And then they spend their adult life trying to hustle for that worthiness. But the sad thing is they're not hustling for the worthiness of themselves. They're hustling for the image that is not them, right? And unfortunately, when we're hustling for something that is not real, then it doesn't matter how much we hustle, right? It's for something that is not real. So it's an invitation to me here to tether to down to what is real and authentic and true inside. So anyway, those are just some thoughts to be thinking about, toying around inside your mind. Where in your life are you choosing authenticity or attachment, or attachment over authenticity? And where in your parenting, if you have children, where can you possibly make room for the people that you love in your life to show up as their authentic selves? And how can we offer that unconditional love again and again? This is not without boundaries or limits or anything like that. It's just, to me, it really comes down to just honoring humans and their worth. But anyway, it's a beautiful invitation. Let me know what you think. Let's find the magic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Me, 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 me. brown cows.